I don't know. I don't usually get emotional insofar as choking up and tearing up, but there's something about this morning that's creating that. Speak, Lord.
I am the God that understands you. You think no one understands you, but I, the Lord God, does understand your need this morning. I am ready to help you. Will you surrender to me? And let me help you. Do not run from me any longer, but come unto me, and I will give you the joy that you so desire and want, because I am speaking unto you. Thank you.
Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. With all the reverence that you could do it, just turn to the one beside you and say, do you have a need that you'd like for me to pray with you about? Would you do that right now? Just, do you have a need that you'd like for me to pray with you about? If they say yes, do it right now. Pray for them, right? Pray with them right now. Just right now, all over this building. Let the Spirit of God do what needs to be done. Oh, God. Oh, Holy Ghost. Oh. Oh, God. Oh, God. I want to talk to you on the idea from Matthew chapter 21, the first 16 verses. And I've pinned it on the piece of paper, when praise stops, backsliding starts. How many know it's true? When you shut down your worship, you open the door for backsliding. The transition takes place in such a subtle way that you're snatched and had before you know it. There's misdirected praise that's unprofitable. And that's what this 21st chapter is going to show us. There was a mob of people hollering, Hosanna! They wouldn't pretend, and but their praise was not to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Their praise was in their mind to a liberator that's going to break the Roman yoke and let them go. And see, if you're here today just for what you can get for God, go home. God is not Santa Claus. He's sovereign. He's eternal. He's almighty. And he doesn't play games. He did say, if you call upon me, I'll answer you. He did say that. But why are you calling? You calling on him so you can feel better to go to the beach? You want him to heal your body so you can go to Walmart and shop this afternoon? Forget it. Do you want something from the hand of God so you can be a greater Christian? Hold on to it. You want to be more effective? Cry out. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth. He will honor your prayers. Oh, God. There's so much carnality in spirituality that it's embarrassing. Verse number one. When they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethpage unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, "Go into the village over against you, and straightway you shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. If any man say aught unto you, you shall say, The Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell you the daughter of Zion, behold, the king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. The disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strewed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before that followed, crying, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Oh, they're just beside themselves. 5 days later, they're crying, Crucify him. Verse 10, when it was come unto Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? See, that's still, they don't. The multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. And Jesus went into the temple. The first place he goes to on this final week, he goes to the temple. If we can get the church straightened out, our priorities the way they're supposed to be, we can have an impact upon the world. The world sees the shabbiness of our commitment, the frivolousness of our consecration. And the world says they are no different than we are. We got more zeal for bass fishing than they do for God. Am I talking to you? He went into the temple of God, the temple of God. You are the temple of God. And cast out all them that sold. That would have been a sight to behold. One man, though he's God, one man driving all the riffraff out. See, we spend our time trying to get them in. Give them bicycles and bubble gum and balloons and pies and cakes and who won the contest and just to get them in. Jesus come in and got them out. And sometimes you got to get them out before you ever get anybody. Oh, y'all don't hear me. He overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And he said unto them, he based his activity on the scripture. It wasn't just something he pulled out of there. It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Now they're out, the place is straightened out. Guess what happens next? The supernatural. The supernatural was not happening while the mess was in there. But when it got straightened out, they brought the look at him. They brought the blind and lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priest and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. They ought to have been elated that the money changers were gone. Commerce was out. And now the proper sounds were coming from the temple. If you would have walked by now, you would have heard children saying, Hosanna. You would have heard people worshiping God. You would have heard people glorifying God. You wouldn't have heard the lowing of oxen and sheep bleating and all that stuff and people trying to rob you. If you'd have walked by, you'd have heard something. You would have heard a wonderful sound. Look, this is my child. He was lame. He can walk now. He was blind. He can see now. Verse number 16. And he said unto them, Hearest thou what these say? And Jesus saith unto them, Yea, have you never read out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise? Just for a little while. When praise stops, worship begins. And that idea of praise is the corrupt praise. If your praise is not sanctified, I got a feeling it's ineffective. The week that I read to you the details of is absolutely the most significant week in human history. It opens up on Palm Sunday. And the details are recorded by each of the gospel writers. Because there cannot be any chance, any opportunity for misguided, misinterpreted events. For 3.5 years, Jesus had walked in Jerusalem and Galilee and Samaria, in Judea. He had ministered. He wasn't a member of the ministerial association. He didn't have regular church hours. He was the church. Where he walked, God walked. And for 3.5 years, he ministered in these areas and did supernatural, unusual, outstanding, astonishing feats. I mean, just recap some of them. He himself fed 5,000 men plus women and children with just 5 loaves and 2 fishes. That's enough to make the New York Times. Later on, he did 4,000. He himself walked on water. It's recorded by all the Gospels. In the mouth of 2 more witnesses, let every word be established. He did it. Fact is, one person got so overwhelmed that he got out of the boat and did it himself, showing that it could be done. He spoke, and storms laid down and ceased. Wind quit blowing. Wherever he went, people said, Who is this? And the answer would be different ones. He said, in fact, this to his disciples, Who do you say I am? And I pose that question here. Who do you say I am? And nobody can say he is Lord except by the Holy Ghost. You can quip it all you want. Oh, he's my Savior. He's my Lord. If you go out of here and do the way you want to do, he ain't your Lord. You don't split hair and say, I'll do this. This is not a bargain basement. Well, I'll get saved if I can do it. No, sir. You're never going to get saved until you die. Lay it all on the line. But suppose I might have to do it just so. Quit doing that. God is bigger than your dilemma. God is bigger than your mess that's got to be untangled. God can take things in his hands and make the wrong be right, make the bad be good, make the down be up, make the up come down. He can make the crooked place straight, the rough places smooth. He's God. Am I talking to you? He did these unusual. I mean, he stopped a funeral. Hold on, 12-year-old child. Touched him, and the boy woke up and come out of the dead. Well, that's the boy probably wasn't dead, you say. Well, just in case some critic comes by and says that, he goes to Lazarus' grave, and Lazarus been dead 4 days. He don't mess around. He just says, Lazarus, come out. And he that was dead, come out, bound with grave clothes. He's God. He's God over your problems. He's God over your mess. He's able to handle your dilemma, your situation. The great problem is you got to change your affection. If you be risen with Christ, set your affection upon things above. God-minded, spiritual-minded. To be spiritual-minded is life and peace. To be carnal-minded is death. You can't always talk about the football game and Carolina won this. Your mind has got to go on more righteous things than that mess. You can't frolic with the world and have the blessings of God upon your life. There's a price to be paid. A consequence has got to be added up. Where are the disciples of Jesus? Many are called. Am I talking to anybody? He did impossible things. He did things that there's no explanation for, except to say that he's God. Am I talking to you? The crowd gathered because of this. 42 months he traveled around. The scripture says he went about doing good because God was with him. He was anointed by the Holy Ghost. And he did supernatural feats. He didn't do it just to show off. He did it for a couple of reasons. Number one, the compassion. He was moved with compassion. Number two, he was establishing that God was among the people. They joined together. The people begin something. He's been telling his disciples, the Son of Man goes up to Jerusalem and he'll be betrayed. And they, oh, no, not like that. Not you. Fact is, he even turned to Peter and said, you're a devil. Now, that would have disassociated a lot of church members if the pastor would have looked at him and said, you're a devil. They went. They clustered. People began to migrate to him. It was amazing. He didn't have to recruit. He didn't have to have contests. If you get the lovely Son of God flowing and walking among the aisles of, and up and down the pews and in the hearts and minds of people, if visitors are so distraught and so bound by sin and bound by debauchery, if they could come in and say, I could be free. If I'm willing to surrender, I could be free. If any man would be my disciple, let him deny himself. Hello? Let him deny. If you want to be his disciple, I want to. What must we do that we may work the works of God? This is the work of God. Believe. Multitudes come. I'm talking about not just a few people, wherever you just see the crowd coming down the street or wherever it was, and they join together. Hosanna, praise him. You know why they're praising him? They're not praising him because of deity. They're not praising him because of sacrifice. They're praising him because Rome is the oppressor. They're tired of paying their taxes exorbitantly. They're tired of being oppressed by the political system. They see a ray of hope. Hello? That's our man right there. Be he a Republican or a Democrat or a Libertarian or whatever, that's our man. We've seen him do things that could not be done by a normal man. We believe he can go in and bust Caesar down. He can liberate Jerusalem. They don't care about heaven and hell. All they care about is I want to get the yoke off of me. That's the problem. That's the issue right now. There are people in this auditorium, you don't care about heaven and hell. You don't believe it. Your mind is dumb to it, numb with it. But all you want is that yoke off you. You want to be able to do what you want to do, when you want to do it, and how you want to do it, and spread your wings and fly, and not come under the authority of God Almighty, not come under the authority of the Word of God or the church. I'm tired of Facebook. I'll tell you, I don't have Facebook. I'm tired of it. Because the telephone rings, and it's a good emotion. I saw so-and-so on Facebook, and I think you need to deal with them, Pastor. Why don't you deal with them? Am I being mean? No, I'm not being mean. I'm being honest. You can't just always spread your wings. We are a holiness church. Holiness. Somebody tell your neighbor, we are a holiness church. We're not weirdos. We're not freaks. We're not living in the 21st, in the 18th century. We believe in being normal people to a degree. But there's a line, not in the sand, but in the steel red blood of Jesus Christ, that says there's a line of demarcation. I'm just going to go ahead and unload the dump truck. There was a time when the Pentecostal movement did not dare have to, not dare, they just did not even have to be taken up with concern about ladies wearing shorts. You didn't do it. Common sense told you. The grace of God that appeared unto, that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us. Not the grace of God in your life will tell you what's right and what's wrong. And the preacher will enforce it. The grace of God teaches us that denying ungodliness. When you're trying to show your skin, you're ungodly. I ain't getting many applauses now. You're ungodly. That means you're not godlike. If God was a female, he wouldn't be walking down on the waterfront in short shorts. Pull my car around the side of you. It's Palm Sunday, preacher. Don't be so mean. It's Palm Sunday. That's why my heart is stabbed in two, because of what he died for, what he did, what he accomplished, and the slackness. They're saying praise. Hosanna. Let me tell you something right now. We're living in a crazy time. You get a little sway in a church, and they got the anointing over there. Some of us have been so long since we've seen the anointing, we forgot what the anointing looked like. Am I talking to anybody? It takes more than a little sway of hands. There was more excitement. I didn't see it. Not one smidgen of it did I see. And if you did, I'm not fussing at you. But there was more excitement in Chapel Hill or wherever Carolina played that ball game and won the championship. There was more to do about Carolina Tar Heels than there was about Jesus Christ on Sunday morning. The fact is, probably a lot of dedicated Christians overslept Sunday morning because they got so carried away on Saturday night. I'm preaching the truth to you. I'm not messing around. I'm not preaching fairy tales. They cried, Hosanna! They joined together. But in the temple, there was noise, but no deliverance. Did y'all get that? We equate noise with God. There are some times that noise is that not God. Be still, huh? And know. We don't have to have the volume up 99 decimals. I'm not saying, We don't have to try to make something happen. We worship God and it will happen. Do you believe that? Worship God and God will honor. God will honor worship. He's looking. He's seeking. He's not seeking for gamblers. He's not seeking for talent. He don't say he's not seeking for entertainers. He's seeking for worshipers. See, you don't have to have a gift to worship. You don't have to have talent to worship. Anybody that loves God. In fact, if you don't worship, I just tell you nose to nose and eyeball to eyeball, How can you be a worshiper? How can you be a child of God and not be a worshiper? But you don't know what I've gone through. I know what he went through. And he cried in Gethsemane. And then he wrote down the words, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Oh God. So on Thursday, the week goes on quickly. And on Thursday, he has a meal with his disciples. They have a trial, a mock trial. And they find him guilty. He submits. I love this verse in Isaiah where it says in 5th chapter, he set his face like a flint. No deviation. No contemplating. Never in his mind did it come to him, I just give up. That mindset is so crippling. That mindset is so debauchered. I just can't hold him out. I'll just quit. Where's your gumption? Where's your character? Where's your stamina? It don't take nothing to quit. Any old dead dog can quit. Hello? It takes God to keep on. You got to have God to overcome what's coming against you. You got to have, it's not your reserve power. You're not that strong, honey. If you're going to go on with God, you got to have God. If you want to go to heaven, it's a pressing way. You're not going to skate the skateboard into heaven. You're going to press your way in. You're going to take a deep breath when you cross that goal line and say, thank God the devil tried this, tried that, did this, did that, but I'm home, I'm home, I'm home. Are y'all going to give me... Oh, God. What happened to him, to this crowd? What happened that on Friday morning? Pilate says, what shall I do with him who's called Jesus? They don't have a conference and get together and what business. They cry out in unison, crucify him! What has he done? They don't want to hear any logic. Crucify him. Do you remember reading in the Bible where they crucify afresh anew? I wonder how many here have got Pilate over their heart and you've... Please help me, Lord. I wonder how many here has crucified him this week. Your conduct, your conversation, your mind. Let this mind be in you. How many have nailed him? That's what the scripture said. They crucified him afresh. Did it say it? How many have literally, by your conduct, driven nails? You say, preacher, you. No, I'm not making it hard. I'm making it honest. What was this sudden switch in emotions? They're, Hosanna, Hosanna. Itty, gitty, giddy-headed, just following the crowd, Hosanna! It don't mean a hill of beans if it's not coming from a sanctified heart. Now, on Friday morning, many of that crowd, you got to understand, it was a mob thing. They're not saying Hosanna. They're saying crucify him, Pilate. Whoa, I need to get out of this. My wife said in a dream, you know how that all goes. Don't want to hear no more. Put him on the cross. I'm bringing this to a close now. Hear me. What made them change? The same thing that makes people change in April of 2017. What could have happened to bring about that drastic change in them that goes from Hosanna to crucify him? Are you ready? They were disappointed in him. He didn't do for me like he did for you. I just knew he was going to heal my arthritis. So he didn't heal your arthritis, so you're going to get you a box of Kleenex and go off and say. They were disappointed in him. They thought he was their rabbit foot, their good luck charm. Oh, call on Jesus. We got him stuffed over there in the closet, but when we get through a Walmart shopping, we'll pull him out and rub his head a couple of times. Disappointed. Let me tell you something. There's some people in the Bible that if anybody had a right to be shocked or frustrated, they did. John the Baptist is sitting in prison for telling the truth. Telling the truth. Something begins to bug his mind. Sends two of his disciples, go talk to Jesus. I mean, you know, hello? Ask him, are you who we should be looking for, or should we look for another? Here's what Jesus said. Watch me. Watch me. He healed. He delivered. He set free. Go tell John. Go tell, I'm just going to give you a little irony here. Go tell John I'm on my way. I'm going to deliver him. He's going to come out of jail. And he's going to write a book. He's going to be on the TV circuit. And he's going to make a million. Go tell John it's all going to be okay. He did not do that, did he? Go tell John the blind see. The lame walk. The dead arise, are raised. And blessed, are you ready? Is he who is not offended in me. Blessed is he who don't run the mouth of my dealings. I don't operate by your whims. I don't operate by you pulling the string. I operate according to my measure. I'm talking about this supposition of Jesus. They were disappointed because they weren't looking for spiritual help. They were looking for emotional help. Political help. They were with Jesus that day, but they didn't love Jesus. How can I tell? What is the test of the scripture? I know the boat is rocked this morning, and I'll answer to that this evening or tomorrow, whatever. But I know the boat's rocked this morning. I know I got some feathers kind of sticking out. What is it? What would make people get this? He didn't do according to their expectations. They expected one thing. How long has it been since you laid your burden before the Lord and say, now, it's not mine. It's yours. Instead of you sitting over in the corner of the room saying, do this and do that and I'll do that. Job All of my appointed days I will wait until my change comes. And there come a day his change come. Am I talking to anybody? Stop looking for an easy route. Now, I started this whole thing off by saying, when praise and worship ceases, backsliding starts. So, sermon number two, backsliding starts. When you quit worshiping, it's amazing the fault that you can find. Hello? When you quit, did you hear what I said? For every non-worshipper in this building, I don't care whether you call yourself a Christian or not, for every non-worshipper in this building, it don't take you but just a few hours to start picking people apart. And you don't feel a bit guilty about it because you're so Pharisaic. I don't believe he's a Christian. I don't see how. People come to church and sit their mess on a pew and get disengaged. They never ever get engaged in the service. They sit on the throne of do nothing and check what everybody else is doing. Martha, Mary is, tell me again, Jesus, tell me again. I know the dishes are dirty, and I know the vacuum cleaner needs to be run, but I'm here with you right now, and this is more important than the vacuum cleaner. It's more important than the dishes. I'm here, the dinner pot can spoil over, we can fast tonight. Just tell me one more time how it happened. Tell me about heaven. I can see her right now. Jesus, you said you're the I am. I don't understand the I am. Will you tell me about the I am? He said, I am that I am. Jesus, tell me about, you said you're the bread of life. What does that mean? I don't understand that. Martha, can you quit? Can you cut the television down, Martha? Yeah, I can cut it down. I cut it off because you're not over here helping me. You're just tied up with him. Let him rest. Let him rest. Let him get his rest. Let me and you get on. I don't want to work when you're sitting on your lazy duff. So Martha comes running in there. Jesus! Jesus! Look at the calluses on my hand. I'm tired. I want to have a good day for you. I wanted the dust to be gone. I wanted the mess to be clear. You're coming to my house today, and I just wanted to make a good impression. Please get Mary up and get her to work. If you tell her to get up, she'll get up. Jesus said, Martha, you don't understand something. There's much going on, and you're busy, but Mary has chosen that which is good. She'll have time to wash the dishes tonight. She'll have time to do all this stuff, but she's learning something that she can't learn anywhere else. Would you stand with me? The musicians are going to come.